Hello, welcome to the Center for Excellence in Preaching and our podcast and audio service. I'm about to read to you an On Preaching article. The title of the article is Pulpit Talk, and this was originally published in Perspectives magazine in May 1994. Pulpit Talk. Preachers should at times befuddle their hearers. Well, or at least that is what Richard Baxter once wrote in a book called The Reformed Pastor. No, this confusion and befuddlement ought not to result from poor presentation, or from the preacher's bad use of words, or use of complicated words like perichoresis. Rather, according to Richard Baxter, congregants need occasional stretching and challenging as a reminder that faith and theology contain matters that are deep and mysterious and subtle. Worshippers should not be permitted to believe that they have the faith all figured out, or that they need never reflect any more on discipleship and what it means. Needless to say, Richard Baxter is not a hero of the church growth movement. Often in recent years, preachers have been repeatedly told to keep things simple. Unbelievers and seekers, we've been told, are turned off by theology. Neighborhood surveys sometimes reveal that boring doctrines are precisely what has kept some people away from the church, and hence the move toward more watered-down and simple sermons. But not only seekers are asking for a soundbite gospel. Many well-established Christians are also not much moved by anything requiring fully firing synapses on a Sunday morning. To succeed today, we're told, a church should be fluent in the language of the culture and then use that language to package a simple message for, increasingly, simple folk. Asking people to think long and hard about something works no better in church than it would, say, on a television show. If we cannot speak or think theologically in church, though, then where can we speak in those ways? Now, those of us who preach have to confess that at least part of the reason doctrinal preaching gets a bad rap is because we haven't always been at our creative and energetic best when preaching doctrinally. In my own tradition, some have plodded through documents like the Heidelberg Catechism with about as much verve as a child memorizing multiplication tables. But must the solution to this scandalous preaching be the complete elimination of all theological talk and the more subtle areas of the Christian faith? Is good doctrinal preaching merely an oxymoron, you know, like elementary algebra or airline food? While not every sermon should be strictly doctrinal, there is some merit to Baxter's encouragement of sometimes presenting sermons that prod listeners, and preachers too, to their mental limits. In his book, Peculiar Speech, William Willimon asserts that preaching is finally speech for the baptized. Preaching ought not to be a type of speech that could be understood by anybody anywhere. Rather, preaching should make sense only within the community of believers. The implication is that those who make up that community need to be sufficiently in the know so as to understand preaching's peculiar speech. Indeed, as baptized people engaged in a lifelong process of becoming Christ-like, believers should be insatiably curious about God, creation, and their relation. Unhappily, today, some people show a deplorable lack of curiosity, and that lack of curiosity can be what causes people to disdain any sermon that aims as much to educate as to inspire. Yet all preaching is a kind of translation. We take one form of speech, a biblical story or epistle, for instance, and we carefully search for apt and creative ways to translate that into a contemporary idiom. This facet of preaching is nowhere better seen than in doctrinal sermons. Preachers must take the language of theology, learned one hopes to some degree of fluency in seminary, and we then find equivalent words and phrases in common parlance. This delicate task requires a fair amount of work and forethought, and for this reason, some merely skirt doctrines altogether, it's too hard to do. but such an avoidance of theology impoverishes listeners over the long haul. Since today we are awash in a sea of information and of conflicting opinions, people need to be lashed to some firm theological moorings. For instance, many young people now face the allures of the New Age movement. So a strong grounding in the doctrine of creation can make them properly suspicious of references to the earth as our goddess mother, as well as to monistic tendencies that locate the God within us. Likewise, intelligent preaching in the area of soteriology and salvation can help make people wary of how even some TV preachers package salvation. Might also keep people from buying shares in popular self-help schemes that tend to shipwreck grace on the shoals of individualism. Increasingly, it seems that many Americans are adopting a kind of mindless syncretism, nourished by a concurrent rise in tolerance and a decline in reading and study and reflection. Christians who have only vague ideas about what they believe, Christians who cannot speak intelligently about any line in the Apostles' Creed, are simply ill-equipped to provide a distinctive witness to our time. The fact that many people, even in churches, no longer have patience for mind-expanding preaching may itself be a symptom of this contemporary malaise. As theologians in residence, preachers have an obligation to pass on the theology they've learned so as to enable the congregation to add to their faith knowledge.